Welcome back to Who's There? I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan. Because most of us are just regular people who like the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason, and here we delve into those reasons. This week, I'm excited to share a conversation that I had with the co-host of the True Blood podcast, Club Dead, Kat Benstead. She's also the editor-in-chief of the online publication Hear Us Scream, and she joined me all the way from Australia. Of course, we discussed Australian horror, what the pandemic was like over there, and how horror has changed her life. One last thing before we get into this episode, if you love the show and haven't left us a review on iTunes yet, I'd be so grateful if you could take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to us. Thank you to everyone who's already left us a review. It's so appreciated as it really helps people to find us. Let's continue on with Women's History Month with my conversation with Kat Benstead. Hey everyone, this week we have Katherine Benstead on the show. She is the host of the podcast Club Dead and also the editor-in-chief of Hear Us Scream, and I'm super excited to chat with her about horror. So let's get into it and bring Katherine in. Hey Katherine, how are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thank you so much for being here. Do you want to start by telling everyone a little bit about yourself, where you're from, etc.?
Oh gosh, yeah. So I am from Sydney, Australia. I am a teacher by day, and at night I am a horror fiend. I am the founder and editor of Hear Us Scream, The Voices of Horror. In December last year, we launched the first volume of our book. We're currently working on volume 2 at the moment. But in the meantime, I help do all of the editing and PR liaison for our website. Other than that, I have a horror movie podcast and a True Blood podcast. So I do a lot.
Yeah, I don't know how you have time for it all. I can barely make time for one podcast.
Sometimes I don't know how I do it.
Do you teach anything horror related, I have to ask?
No, I'm actually a history teacher. So
oh, okay.
I guess that can
That's
be...
kind of horrible sometimes.
Yeah. I'm teaching the Holocaust at the moment. So it's horror adjacent, definitely.
Well, first things first, what's your favorite scary movie?
Oh my gosh, someone asked me this yesterday and I couldn't answer because it does change. It really depends if I've had like a revival of a genre. So I'll like be all about like slashers for a little while, or I'll be all about body horror for a little while. But since August of last year, James Wan's Malignant is like my number one. Yeah, it owns my heart and soul. I've signed it over to Malignant.
Oh, okay, cool. Nice. That movie was like super polarizing. So I'm glad you liked it.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. That's cool. How did you first fall in love with the horror genre?
Oh gosh. My aunt is horror obsessed. Absolutely horror obsessed. And I used to watch horror movies with her when I was like in my young teens to like my late teens. And I never realized that these movies were like horror, scary movies. I just was like, oh, it's just another movie. So I was watching, you know, like Hellraiser and A Nightmare on Elm Street and the Saw series. I was 15 when the Saw series came out. And I didn't go to the movies to see it, but she had like the movie and I'd watch it religiously. and then I kind of just fell off horror for a while. I was working a lot. I was studying full time at university. So I literally had no time to even watch a 20-minute television show. And when I was around 21, 22, my boyfriend at the time was obsessed with horror movies. And so I got back into it and I was watching like horror movies I'd never really think that I'd ever watch. I was introduced to the Evil Dead franchise, which I fell in love with. So Evil Dead 2 is like up there as my favorite with Malignant, but at the moment Malignant's overtaking. And I kind of just fell back in love with the genre and started to understand its complexities and its diversity a lot more and just started appreciating film. I was going to watch horror movies release at the cinemas. I did go see Paranormal Activity when it came out.
Oh, I wish I had seen that in theaters.
I think I would have been 18 when that came out because I went with a group of friends. And then I went and saw something. I think I went and saw the Amityville Horror when it came out, the one with Ryan Reynolds, with like my teenage boyfriend. We were both teenagers. We were both teenagers and one of his friends. And I sat covering my eyes the entire time because I was like, I am not watching this. And now I love the Amityville Horror. Like I'll put that on as a comfort movie. Like I really enjoy watching it. And it's maybe because I know it and I know it, you know, scene for scene. And it's like, okay, I can watch this. But yeah, I've always had like horror involved in my life, but I never really took it on as, hey, that's my genre personality, like my movie personality. And now I fully embrace it because I don't really like any other, oh, I do, but I don't watch as many other genres as I watch horror.
Yeah, definitely. I'm the same way now, where I sometimes go see other genres of film, and then my friends and I will be in the theater and like we'll see previews come on for like non-horror movies, and we're like, oh yeah, these exist too.
Yeah, oh, okay. I forgot about them.
Oh, cool. So why do you think that people who seem perfectly sane love the horror genre?
Because we're not perfectly sane. I don't know. It just has this really innate ability to be so relatable, and it resonates with people. You know, one story can have a million different impacts for people. It's so diverse in the way that we respond to these films, and it's incredible. With publishing the book last year and reading the essays, getting to know how they perceive horror and their love of horror was so different to one another. Some people are, it's trauma. It helped me feel more, you know, less alone as a woman, or horror raised me. It was my babysitter because my parents were too busy doing other things. And so it just has this really fantastic job. It's done this amazing job of helping us not define who we are, but find who we are through, you know, even if it is terrifying, we are able to look in ourselves, and it's like this level of self-awareness we didn't have before. And it's just, for me, I watch horror movies because it's cathartic. It's, I'm not alone in whatever I'm going through in this moment. You know, I'm going through some shit. Oh, look, cool. This person's going through some shit too. Awesome. They're able to come out on the other side, and I know I will too. And I think that that's why so many people love horror, because it does have that, it has an ability to heal and provide connections, and it's just really amazing. I don't know another genre that does that.
Yeah, that's really beautiful what you said. What's your favorite subgenre in horror?
Ooh, slashers. I love a good slasher. Absolutely. They're just fun. Sometimes they're goofy. Sometimes they take themselves too seriously. And it's, yeah, I will scream. I will laugh. I have such a great time watching slashers. And I went and saw the latest Scream in the cinema, and I was crying the entire time.
Why? Just because?
I cry at every movie.
Oh, okay.
Like every movie I go since lockdown. So my partner and I haven't been to the movies that much because of COVID, but we went, the first movie we saw when we came out was Mortal Kombat. I cried during that. Went and saw The Conjuring 3, cried in that. Saw Godzilla vs. Kong. I cried in that. I don't know. And then I cried in Scream. So I guess it's just, maybe it's just being at the cinema again. That's like got me crying about it. Very emotional.
Yeah. Yeah. My first time going back to the theater last May, my friends and I were going to see Spiral, and like a guy walked in before the preview started, and he's like, it's good to be back.
Oh, I would have cried at that. I would have cried. I wouldn't have been able to help myself.
You would have been like, oh, yes, it is.
Oh my God, it really is, isn't it?
Yeah, there is a promo that plays with Nicole Kidman, Australian, before every movie at an AMC theater here in the US. That's like, it's just her being like, being at the theater is so great. And, you know, the movies feel real. And yeah.
I would cry at that.
Yeah, they've since shortened it in the last few months, but it's become
like probably overseeing it. They're like, I've seen this a million times now.
Yeah, it's become a thing where like my friends will, they'll be like, I'm going to be late. And then I'm like, don't worry, Nicole hasn't come on yet. You're fine.
Isn't it in cinemas here? That'd be so good.
Yeah, you know. What's your favorite slasher?
Good question. Probably Scream 4. I really like Scream 4. I like The Slumber Party Massacre.
Mm.
New and old. I like both. Sleepaway Camp was really good. Oh, gosh. Like, the list could go on, really.
You should meet my friend Jody. He loves Slumber Party Massacre. I haven't seen the new one yet. I really want to, but
it's pretty good. For what it is, it's really, it's fun as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. You mentioned you have a partner. Does he or she like horror movies?
Yes, he is very into horror, but he likes zombies, whereas I am very against watching zombie films. I have a zombie phobia.
Oh, okay. Tell me more.
So when I was a kid, I had a dream that I was Dixie Kong playing in Donkey Kong Land. And I'm going around with, you know, my yellow ponytail flicking around everywhere. And then I'm chased by a horde of zombies. And I had never seen zombies when I had this dream. Didn't even know what zombies were. Had no idea. Maybe I'd seen them on a cartoon or something that I'd watched. Maybe Scooby-Doo or something. And then I got caught in like a big net, like a spider's web almost. And the zombies like ate me. And ever since then, I've been so like, I can't watch zombie things. It terrifies me. So I try. I'm watching The Walking Dead. I'm only up to like season 3 or 4.
Oh, you have a while to go.
Because they're slow. Yeah. Day of the Dead traumatized me.
Zach 28 Snyder, days later?
28 days. Running zombies? Yeah. No, thank you. Yeah, so he loves zombies. He does like horror. He is a really big fan. But yeah, he really digs zombies. And I'm just like, what is with boys and zombies? What's wrong with you?
There's disgusting. A really good, a really interesting zombie movie that I've mentioned on here before. I can't remember what it's called. I think it's on Netflix, maybe. It's about kind of after a zombie apocalypse where they've found a cure, and it's the people who have been turned back from zombies. They still remember everything they did. They still have the memories, and the people who, like, you know, if they killed their mother, they still like hold that against them. So it's an interesting.
That sounds interesting. I'd watch that.
Yeah.
I definitely would. That sounds cool.
Yeah. I think, it's on Hulu or Netflix or something. I'll have to look it up. I see that you have a bunch of tattoos. Do you have any horror tattoos?
Not yet. Oh, I do. I have a Jack Skellington tattoo.
Oh, cool.
Nightmare Before Christmas, I was obsessed with as a kid. Probably explains why I grew up to be really weird. So I have him as the Pumpkin King on my ankle, which I got on a Halloween flash day.
So cool.
Yeah. So I'm waiting to start getting paid again so I can get some. I've got some ideas of, I've got some like Evil Dead tattoos I want to get and fill up some space on my legs that I've just left. Obviously, there's a reason for it now. I'm just going to be covered in zombie tattoos. No, horror tattoos. You know, I've never really thought about getting a horror movie tattoo. Over the last couple of months, I've definitely been more open to the idea.
Yeah. Who are your favorite horror directors?
Oh, James Wan, Wes Craven. I really enjoy the directors that Radio Silence that did the new Scream, because they did Ready or Not, and I love that movie.
Yeah, it's great.
Gosh. Yeah, that's about it. I like Karen Kusama. She's fantastic because I love Jennifer's Body. It's such a good movie.
Yeah.
And The Invitation is just exceeded so expectations. So
yes.
Yeah. And I'm not really that fussy when it comes to directors.
That's totally fine. When would you have left the party during The Invitation?
Probably at the start, because I have a real big issue going to social things in general. So I just would have been like, you know, the girl that leaves at the start, that would have been me. I would have been like, I gotta go. Cause like, oh, gotta go feed the cat. Sorry guys. Bye.
Yeah. Me too.
Smart decision making.
Yeah. I have to ask, what are your favorite Australian horror movies?
Oh, good question. Body Melt. I love Body Melt.
I've never heard of that.
It's an 80s like body horror film. It is insane. It's like 100 miles an hour, like 100 miles a minute, sorry, right from the beginning. Then I'm not a big fan of Wolf Creek. Everyone's like, ooh, Wolf Creek. And I'm like, there's Lake Mungo. That's a great film. Yeah. And The Loved Ones.
I tried watching that once. I put it on and then I started reading like the Wikipedia page about the what happens in it. And I was like, I don't know if I can take this right now. So I turned it off and now it's not streaming for free anywhere. So.
Oh no. Yeah. It's a very interesting exploration of like a nuclear family in Australia and the disparity of classes as well. So it's got a social commentary as well, which I find really fascinating. I guess as an Australian, I'd recognize it more than what anybody else would. But it definitely explores just like misogyny and like relationships in Australia. Okay. Like the dynamics between like men and women, especially in teenage years. It's really fascinating. If you watch it through that lens.
I'll just close my eyes for.
Yeah, just close your eyes. Just listen.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to hear some of that stuff either, like the torture, but I'll get to it. I'll get to it at some point because I hear it is good. But yeah. I have to ask, I love Lake Mungo. I think it's so super creepy. But I've asked a couple of other Aussies that I've had on here. Do you not lock your doors at night? Because the main character was like, I would walk around my neighborhood at night and just walk into other people's houses. And I was like,
oh, yeah, no. What? No, we don't. It depends where you live. Like, I could literally not lock my door and be fine. And I wouldn't even worry about it. But I live in an area where it's mainly just like middle-class families and old people. So it's nothing for me to worry about. But where Lake Mungo is situated, there you could easily just have your door unlocked and not worry. The thing is, like, people, I haven't really heard of people, you know, like, testing other people's doors, because we just don't do that. Like, yeah. I'm not going to check if someone else's door's unlocked.
Yeah, that makes sense. I remember in, I think it was Michael Moore's documentary, Bowling for Columbine, he goes across the river into Toronto, and he's like, so apparently nobody locks their doors. And, like, he went and opened people's doors, and they were just like, how's it going? What's up?
Hi, hello. Like, that's how we would be here. Like, yeah. are you okay? Are you lost? If you got the wrong house.
In America, like, you'd get shot. So
yeah, well, we don't have castle doctrine here, so we literally can do that. So.
Yeah.
But I couldn't leave my door unlocked during the day and go, like, have a nap or, like, be out in the backyard and not worry about it.
Yeah.
It'd be fine.
Yeah. So an article came out in 2020 that said that horror movie fans were handling lockdown better than non-horror movie fans. Why do you think that was the case?
Probably because we sit in our houses and watch movies all day, every day anyway. So. Not only that, but I think that the community has a really strong connection too, so that there's always a place that a horror fan can go to find other people to talk to. I've made so many friends since 2020 in the lockdown that have helped me beyond that they even know. They don't understand how, well, I can't even put into words, look at me, how much they've changed my life. They helped me get through lockdown. Like, we just went through a 6 or 7 month lockdown here, and the rest of the world's all fine. And, like, I couldn't even get my hair cut. So it's so nice to have a place I can turn to. And it's, like I said, horror is healing and it's cathartic and it's stuff that resonates with us on an emotional level that we don't ever feel alone. And I'm sure I don't speak for everyone, but I definitely didn't feel alone during the lockdown because of the community, because I had all these movies I could watch. And yeah, I just broadened so many of my, like, broadened my horizons. And yeah, it's, horror's changed my entire life.
But are you out of lockdown now? Or are you still locked down? Okay.
Yeah, we've got no masks. Our mask mandate just lifted. Well, for teachers, it lifted last week. So last week. But it was everybody else the week before that. So we're down to like 10,000 cases a day, which is okay, because we're going from like 80,000, like 140,000 cases a day. Yeah, it's looking good, hopefully.
I didn't even know it was that high. I thought Australia had gotten it down.
When Omicron hit, everything just went out the window.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. No turning back for us, unfortunately. Yeah. And they kind of just they did the whole let it rip. Like, just get COVID. It's like on personal responsibility. Like, we'll make sure that you have to get vaccinated and that you've got your mask, but everything else is on you. And so, like, I ended up with COVID, but it was fine. I just watched horror movies for an entire week.
Awesome. So you're the co-host of a podcast called Club Dead. Tell me about the concept behind that and how you came up with
it. Okay. So me and my best friend, we're the hosts on the show. Her name is Addie. And basically we became really good friends over lockdown because I was at home all day, every day. So I could chat to her all day, every day. And we were talking about our love for True Blood. And I was like, you know what would be so cool if we did a podcast? And so we haven't recorded an episode for 3 months. We've just had a break because of my schedule at the moment. And so we've done 2 seasons so far. And yeah, it's just ridiculous. Like, we just talk about how toxic Bill is, how hot Eric is, how hot Pam is, how stupid Sookie is, how dumb Sam is. But we literally introduce our podcast as Australia's number one True Blood podcast, because there's another True Blood rewatch podcast out there, and we're not going to claim that we're the best in the world. So maybe just in Australia. Yeah, we're the number one.
That's
we
awesome.
Basically just go through the plot of every episode, and we just laugh our way through it, because, like, we loved the shows the show so much when it first came out. Like rewatching it, we're like, why did we watch this? This is terrible.
I've actually never watched True Blood. Vampires are like one of the things that makes me a little queasy.
Oh, fair enough. The whole blood thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I watched Interview with the Vampire for the first time a couple of years ago, and I was like, this is gross.
Like, yeah. It's not for me. I don't even like that movie. I get it.
Yeah. And I watched Jacob's Wife on Shudder.
That movie's cool.
Yeah, it is, but it's just more like vampiric.
Yeah.
So yeah. it wasn't for me, but Barbara Crampton is great. So you're also the editor-in-chief of Hear Us Scream, which is an inclusive online outlet for horror lovers to share their connections to and love for horror. How long have you been doing that?
So the launch of the website was in end of August, early September last year. So haven't been around for very long, but I have an incredible group of contributors. We're called the Scream Team. So I love them all very dearly. They're all very incredibly intelligent and fun and witty and incredibly talented. So I kind of wanted Hear Us Scream to be a platform for writers who want to build their portfolio as a writer. So at the moment we're volunteer run. We are hoping to get that in like all changed soon, which is awesome. So I'm doing everything I can to get the website monetized and get people paid for their writing, which I've told, you know, it's a process, and everyone who has, you know, been lending their time to reviews and editorials, I'm incredibly appreciative of. So hopefully we'll be a big outlet soon and, you know, taking over the world like Dread and Bloody Disgusting.
Awesome. What have been some of the recent articles that you've published?
We recently did a Valentine's Day week where everyone wrote love letters to horror films. So they either wrote like a dear film and wrote why they love them, or they did like an editorial sharing why they are so passionate about the film. So one of the writers was, we had Jessica, who wrote a love letter to Suspiria and how much she loves Dario Argento, and Taylor, who wrote about Raw, the
Julia DeCorno.
Yeah, that's the one. I can never say her last name.
I don't know if I'm saying it right. I'm just saying it how I remember somebody else saying it.
I wait for other people to say it and I'm like, yeah, okay, that's how I pictured saying it too. And I wrote about Queen of the Damned, so that was cool. And then throughout February, I also published like little mini interview profiles with Black content creators and horror lovers for Black History Month, which I'm hoping to just continue doing and just having, you know, more and more diverse people across the content creation, like highlights and stuff. So this month it's Women in Horror. Well, it's Women's History Month. Yep. So we don't celebrate Women in History Month in February, where I know some people do. We don't, because that's Black History Month.
Yeah.
And so we are going to we take it over to March. And so people are just doing, Marina, our book reviewer, just did a TBR, like her to be read for March, and shared like all the books that she's going to read for this month. So that'll be published this week sometime. Yeah, and we're just looking at films made by women and highlighting also our contributors as well. But they're talking about what Women in Horror Month means to them. So we've got both women and non-binary writers, but yeah, all of us will be answering the questions, and I'll be highlighting, you know, what they think and why it's important to them and who their favorite women are in horror. And if they could invite any woman in horror to dinner, who would it be? So it's kind of, yeah, just like a little celebration of women in horror. Hopefully I have enough time to get it all done this month.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. February, I think, is Women in Horror Month, but that's kind of weird because March is Women's Month anyway. Yeah, so
that's why I know February, a lot of people that do March.
Yeah, February is already Black History Month. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But speaking of women in horror, Jennifer Kent, who did The Babadook and is Australian. So, yeah.
She also did The Nightingale. That's a really hectic film. So
oh, God.
If you ever watch it, prepare yourself.
Yeah, that's like a one and done. So,
yeah.
I don't want to watch
it. I need to
rewatch
it again. So, I'm like, oh. I own it. So maybe I'm going to watch it with the commentary. I'd really like to do that.
Yeah.
I need more time for that.
Definitely.
More hours in the day, please, someone.
Yeah. So, but speaking of women in horror, who's your favorite final girl?
Oh, I really like Kirstie in Hellraiser because she doesn't get enough praise for how cool she is. And obviously Sydney as well. I think just because when I watch her films, I see myself as a teenager. Like, I was a teenager. This is a really cool, like, she transitions from teenage years into her adulthood, and it just felt really relatable. And so and she's just really badass. She kicks so much butt.
Who was your favorite new character in Scream 5?
Good question. Probably Jasmine Savoy Brown's character. I'm so bad with names. She's just so excellent. Like,
yeah,
she's just so smart and funny and queer, and it's just the coolest thing in the whole world. She's just awesome.
I see that you have some horror art on your wall. Yeah. What do you have up there? Oh, you have a Saw. You have a Saw poster.
Saw, Scream here. Evil Dead, that's a 20th anniversary poster, and more Scream. and then my butterflies. And then that is a really cool collection. I have three of these. They're in like a collection together. An artist by the name of Scott Harrison, who I have known for like a bazillion years. They're his art prints. And they're just really beautiful.
Nice.
So I kept them all.
So you said you're a fan of all the Saw movies, or you've seen them all at least. What's your favorite sequel?
Of Saw. Ooh, I really liked 4 and 5.
Okay.
So 5 I liked because I studied criminology in university. And so watching how they look, Saw is just an exploration of punishment and who, you know, what we determine as good and bad and how subjective it all is. But in 5, they just do some really messed up things where I'm like, oh my God. And they're all connected to one another through, you know, one way or another, like each character is connected. And I like the way that they put it all together as like this case where everybody knows and it's all intertwined and it all, you know, culminates to this like climax of they're all involved in this one thing. And it's like, didn't see that coming. So I just really enjoyed how they write them. I didn't enjoy Spiral as much as I thought I would, but it was good for what it's meant to be.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've never seen any of the Saw sequels, but I kind of want to go back and maybe watch one or two of them. I don't know.
2 and 3 are okay. It just starts to get really crazy, and like I like it, but it's not. I still liked 5 more than I liked like 4 and 6. So
yeah, can I just go from Saw to Saw 5?
Yes, guess you can. You can watch any of them. You don't. There's no. I think they actually do start to put more of like Jigsaw's motives and like his little MO and who he is and profiling him and relation, like they give him more lore. Mm-hmm. So I think if you skip some of them, you'll miss it and be like, what are you doing here? What is it? I don't understand what's going on here. So it is helpful to watch all of them.
All right. Maybe. How do you decide what horror movie to watch when you're looking for something to watch?
It usually takes me about 2 hours. So I do have a watch list on Letterboxd. And I'll go to that first and be like, okay, what do I feel like watching? And they're ones that I've made sure I can get on streaming services here. So I'll be like, okay, I'll just watch that. It's so much easier than me. Sometimes I'll just sit in front of the screen and be like, all right, what am I going to watch? I don't know. Because I use a VPN to watch US Shudder. Mm-hmm. And there's just so much more on it that I'm like, I don't even know what to choose. So it's horrible because I have like everything here. I have Netflix, I have Disney Plus, I have another streaming service here called Stan. It's kind of like Hulu, Shudder, Prime. So like if I have a list ready to rock and roll, then I don't have to make too hard of a decision. Yeah. I wish Shudder had like the pick a movie for me, like Netflix does.
Mm.
That'd be so much easier. But I do have Shudder TV.
So. Yeah, they have Shudder TV. So yeah. I guess that's pretty close.
But I always miss the start.
I've actually never watched Shudder TV. I've heard about it, but there are so many things on my watch list that I want to watch before I just put on some random shit. So yeah.
That's totally fair enough.
I think I might watch Fresh after we get off here tonight.
I was invited to the screening of that. And I came home and fell asleep and slept through going to the movies. And I was like, so now I've got to wait for it to come out. I don't know where it's coming out here. So I was like, I should have really gone to the screening.
I don't know. Can you use Hulu on your with your VPN?
I think it comes to Disney if it's on Hulu.
That's weird. That's so weird that it would come to Disney.
I don't, it's, yeah, Jennifer's body is on Disney here. Alien and Alien Covenant is on Disney here. It's so weird.
Are there any horror movies that you won't watch or that you won't watch ever again?
Yeah, Hostel, Human Centipede, any of them. I know, it's surprising. I have seen the first one because I was like a teenager and I was like, I'm going to watch the Human Centipede and see what that's all about. And I'm like, oh, why did I choose that one? As an adult reflecting back on it, I was like, what is wrong with me? What are you doing? But also, Martyrs was one that I watched with my younger sister. So my younger sister is about 10 years younger than me and she really likes horror films. And she was like, oh, I really want to watch Martyrs and see what that's all about. And I was like, well, I haven't seen it, so I'll watch it with you. And I kind of just refused to rewatch it just because it's really brutal. But I do have a guest who wants to discuss it. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to say no. It's not on my I won't ever watch list. It's just on a I'll only watch it if I'm going to have a constructive and productive conversation about it. And I know that that's what's going to happen. So I'm like, okay, I'm not watching it for funsies. I'm watching it for research and that's fine. So yeah, Hostel 2. I just really don't like Eli Roth and his films. So I don't really watch a lot of them. Yeah, just anything that's a real invasive type of violence. Like that you're just like, how did you come up with that? And why?
Yeah.
Where are you at mentally if that's what you've come up with? Like, I'm concerned for you.
I've never seen Hostel or Hostel 2 or The Human Centipede. I do want to watch Martyrs once just because I've heard that it's a well-made movie.
Yes, absolutely.
But the hard part is finding somebody to watch it with you. Yeah. So I don't want to watch it by myself.
Watching it by myself. I might make my partner watch it.
Yeah. Tell him that it's a... it's a religious movie.
He wouldn't even care. He'd be like, why are you making me watch that? He hadn't seen Ready or Not, so we watched that a couple of weeks ago and I was like, yes, I'm so glad you liked it.
Yeah, oh, that was so fun. I loved that movie.
Yeah, he was like, this is really good. And he usually falls asleep in movies and he managed to stay awake for the entire movie. I was like, what? You're awake still? I'm impressed.
I feel like men just always fall asleep during movies.
He falls asleep at the cinema.
Yeah.
I don't know how. He can fall asleep anywhere, though, so it makes sense.
Yeah. Have you ever had any noteworthy experiences seeing a horror movie in theaters?
I used to go to this, like, little independent horror movie fest in Sydney, and I just really enjoyed going to those. Like, I don't remember what movies I saw, but it was just the atmosphere, and people would, like, clap and cheer after the movie, and it was just good fun because it was community as well as going to see a movie. So I was socializing. I was watching these really great movies that normally wouldn't get, screened here because we're really stringent with classification in Australia and people are really picky about what gets screened and it's just really hard. And so we have to wait for movie festivals for those things to come here. Mm-hmm. And it just really, it fucking sucks. But yeah, I just really like, little indie film festivals. They're good fun.
That's cool. Yeah, I started going to them last year. I went to the Brooklyn Horror Film Festival. So
that was fun. Oh, nice.
What has your favorite horror movie been so far that you've seen in 2022?
In 2020, oh gosh, probably Scream. Yeah. Scream, I really enjoyed. Like, I gave it a 5-star on Letterboxd. So it's hard to get a 5-star from me. And I look, it's going to be contentious when I say this, but the Texas Chainsaw Massacre wasn't that bad.
I didn't think it was that bad either. I liked it better than the original because I found the original real boring. There was actually stuff happening and great kills in this one. So
that's what I really enjoyed about it. I was like, look, it's not the original. Don't compare it to the original. The same people aren't making it. I mean, there's some things where you're just like, why did you do that? Why is that there? But then most of the time I enjoyed it for what it is.
Yeah. It's just a fun, really gory slasher. So
yeah. If you took the Texas Chainsaw Massacre off it, people probably wouldn't have an issue with it.
Yeah. So on the flip side, what horror movie are you most looking forward to seeing in the rest of 2022?
The Black Phone.
Oh yeah. Me too.
Scott
Derrickson.
I can never say his last name. Derrickson. I can never get it out. I'm really looking forward to that with Ethan Hawke. They did great together in Sinister. I used to hate Sinister, but now I absolutely love it.
Why did you hate it?
I don't know, maybe it just scared me too much. And I was like, I'm never watching that again. And now I'm like, I really love this movie. So I'm looking forward to them working together on this to get like, yeah, I'm really keen for this one.
Yeah, definitely. I hope I don't get my expectations too high for it.
Yeah. But I'm just yeah. Please.
Yeah, I think they've done studies that show like that Sinister is like one of the scariest movies of all time based on people's heart rates when they watch it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's really interesting.
Maybe I've watched it that many times where I'm like, yeah, it's okay.
Oh, I mean, like, I'm sure
me,
that
the
does.
Strangers is a scary movie of all time. So.
Oh, really? See, I didn't think it was that scary upon a rewatch. Because Liv Tyler just does so many stupid things. She's like hanging out outside the house, leaving the door open.
Not locking like, the door.
Yeah. Why would you not lock the door? Like, again, lock your doors. This is your PSA, people, wherever you live. I don't care if there are cows outside and no humans. Lock your doors.
Lock the door.
Yeah. You're welcome. Are there any horror movies that you love that people generally don't like?
Malignant? But no, not really. Because I just don't pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. Like chatter online, so I don't know what people don't like. So unless I actually like went out and spoke to someone and they were like, I didn't like it. Oh, well, one of my friends didn't like Scream, and I was like, you're wrong, and it's okay to be wrong.
Yeah, we can agree to disagree in that you're wrong.
Yeah, I was like, you're wrong, but as long as you're okay with being wrong.
Yeah I went to see it 3 times in theaters, and the last time I brought one of my girlfriends with me, and I was like so nervous that like she wasn't gonna like it, but after the cold open she looked at me and she was like, yeah. I was like, all right, good, we can keep being friends.
That's so good.
Yeah, if you could remake one horror movie, which one would it be?
Ooh. Oh, a lot of them have already had remakes. Oh gosh, yeah, all of the ones that I'm thinking of, they've had remake. Evil Dead, Scream, well, not Scream, it's not really a remake. Slumber Party Massacre had a remake. I'd like to see Sleepaway Camp. Like, because like after watching Fear Street 1978, I think they could really do something really cool with like a new Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think 1978 was my favorite Fear Street part. Yeah. So. Yeah. All right. Well, my last question is, if you had to spend quarantine with one horror villain, who would it be?
Gabriel from Malignant. Because then at least I'd have some company when he goes to sleep, you know?
Yeah.
But I just feel like he'd be fun anyway. He's a little bit crazy, a little bit unhinged. Quarantine would be fun. It's only a week, right?
I have to ask, did you see what was coming in Malignant, like after that first scene? Okay.
No, not at all. I was just like, how did I not pick that up? I was expecting something like, I was expecting like evil twins or something.
Well, I mean, it kind of was.
Yeah. It was, but that was so far embedded in my brain where it's like, it's an imaginary friend, but it's a twin that maybe she ate in the womb. And that's what it is. And so, like, I came up with these really complex ideas. And it kind of, like, pushed any, like, obvious idea out of my head.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I ran with, like, the evil twin that was consumed in the womb idea. I don't know how I get to those conclusions.
I'm sure somebody had a weirder idea when they were watching Malignant.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's totally fine.
Well, I hope they did.
Let us know if you did. Hit me up on Twitter.
Yeah, let us know.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you and your podcast and hear us scream online?
Sure. If you just head to my Twitter @catstead_, you will literally find links to everything. I put everything on there. My website is on there and all the tags to both my podcasts and to Hear Us Scream's Twitter. So yeah, go check it out. We're going to be releasing some info over the coming weeks about Hero Scream. So we're currently in the process of receiving pitches until next week. So it's very exciting.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for being here.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There? I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Kat Benstead, and thanks to Kat for coming on. I'll leave links to where you can find Club Dead and Hear Us Scream in the show notes. You can follow us on Twitter @WhosTherePod, or on Instagram @WhosTherePodcast, or if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at WhosTherePC@gmail.com. Until next time, stay scary and get vaccinated.